Order. Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in us, around us, and on us, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us. When the enemy attacks, we exert that authority, and they have to go. There's nothing else they can do but go. We, Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for open heaven tonight. And every time we open up our mouth to pray to you, Lord, that we get what we need because of our faith and the faith that you have given us. He said, with the faith the size of a mustard seed would move that mountain on Baron Merlin's picture right there off into the sea in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have some fine revelations in Romans. And Lord, we just thank you for your help and your leading and your guiding tonight. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for all that you're doing and going to do. And we thank you, Father, that the prayers for the sick have been answered. They are healed. We're standing in faith with them for. And we thank you, Father, that it's done. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Andy is here. Angelica's here. Everybody that needs healing is here. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Testimony. Praise report. Yeah, Benita.
Hi, everyone. I just need you all to agree with me. I've been out when I'm out playing with the dogs. They run around like Nick. They run around like crazy, and sometimes they run right into my knees. And so now I don't know. I'm trying to bend today, and my knee's all swollen, and I can't bend it. And I'm trying to figure out why, and then I remembered it was the dogs. They just like knock me right to the ground. They're just crazy. So, Lord, I'm just not going to accept this. The swelling's going to be gone and no pain. I bend my knees and no problem at all. So thank you, Lord, for taking care of that. We just bind those infirmities up and don't accept them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We speak to that swelling in her knee and command it to go down now. In the name that's above every name, that's the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, and that is so. Before the night program is over, it's going to be down to where it's supposed to be. In Jesus' name, pain is gone. Glory to God. We won't accept anything less. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. It's done. Everybody believe that? Benita's healed? Yes, she is. Glory to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Barry.
Praise report. It's 30 degrees cooler today than it was yesterday.
Awesome.
I think we were 114 yesterday.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. It's been like that for the previous 4 days, but they forecast 98 in a nearby town. We always get hotter than they do. And we hit 84 for a high is what I saw.
Praise God.
It's, you know, it's such a blessing. I can't even tell you. And I'm very thankful that we got a reprieve from that heat that was forecast today.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I got up this morning, Barry, and it was 64 about, I guess it was about 6 o'clock, 6:15, something like that. 64. I had to put my jacket on, for goodness sake. I figured I'd get a rise out of somebody. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Lord, thank you for the cooler weather. It's good. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, I've got a testimony. The week before I went to Arkansas, they were having heat indexes up in the 120s. With humidities up in the 70s and 80s. And The day I got there, it was like in the 80s, high 80s. The next day, it was in the high 80s. Then it went up to about 90 and 91. Then it went back down in the high 80s. And I was able to get a lot of work done while I was there. So praise God. Thank you, Father, for following me around. And I like hot weather when I'm not working. It's good when I'm not working. All right. Anybody else? God is good. He is so good. Oh, yeah, Missy.
Well, I like to share how the Lord's been, you know, the Lord's sovereign, and he's showing me, still like teaching me what, you know, sisters aren't supposed to teach. He's still teaching me that. And I'm getting it, understanding more, you know, exactly what is teaching. And the other day I came across a situation and I didn't handle it very good. And just the Lord's been showing me just things that are still in me, especially in certain areas or whatever. You know, like pride, conceit, vanity, and self-consciousness and stuff like that. And I just praise and thank the Lord for that. And I battle a little bit with condemnation, but I just been fighting against it and reading some scriptures that helps me with the areas and stuff. And it's just by reading those scriptures, it just seems like that, you know, that condemnation just flees, you know. It's like, don't be afraid, you know. It's like, you know, Lord, show me not to be, you know, I realize not to be afraid to read the scriptures that, you know, that apply to the areas that I'm struggling with. So I thank you, Lord. I'm free from those things. I thank you, Lord, for showing me these things so I can cleanse myself from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. I just praise you and thank you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for showing me, you know, not to be fearful of you showing me these things, and not to be afraid of rejection and all, and you know, it's because of your love, Lord, and I praise you and I thank you for loving me so much. We love because you first loved us. We thank you. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command any kind of condemnation on her to leave her right now in Jesus' name. You go. And rejection, go. You too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. She is free from all that.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Okay, Andrew.
I'm just going to say a vision that I got the other day. Can't remember. It was in within 48 hours. I was sitting in my other chair when I'm all alone. And, you know, I told you guys that I used to practice imitating God as beloved children. I used to go right hand and left hand, you know, just kept doing that, you know, the second Corinthians chapter 6, you know, is a good one for that. You can have fellowship with righteousness, and I hold the right hand in the air really high, or iniquity, and I hold the other hand really low. And so the Lord gave me a vision about that. It was a scorpion, a black scorpion, came up and landed right here on my shoulder. And I was just looking at this thing off me. You know, his tail was facing the wrong way, you know, and for striking me. And so was his little paws, but it was just black. And I went, what's on my arm here? And I just thought, you know, well, if he crawled down that arm, he's going to get all those leftists, you know, the left-handed people, you know. And that it was just like, 20 seconds, you know, vision. And I went, oh, you know, and at first I went, well, what's wrong with me? Why is a scorpion attacking me? You know, and then I thought, oh, because I'm practicing this little thing with the left hand and the right hand a lot, he's showing me something, or he's showing something that might be happening, not too far away. I know he does it righteously and correctly, you know. So he's in charge of the scorpion. And I know there's a scorpion in the book of Revelation, and there's a serpent there too. So I didn't go look at the verses there because I don't know why. I didn't get around to it. But that was just a very short vision. You know, scorpion on my right arm, right here. Boom, you also see a big curly tail there. Sticking away from my face, and I'm going, what's going on here? Anyway, so it's got a little far ways to go down the arm there, and then we'll be amongst the left-handed people. Not literal left-handed people, but, you know, the goats instead of the sheep. So, praise and glory to God.
When did you say what it meant?
Well, I just think that the scorpion is going to strike pretty soon. If I'm imitating our father, this thing might be crawling down to go get me, you know? I don't know how long it takes it to go down, you know, but it seems like it's. I didn't see it move or anything. It was just sitting there on my left arm. Of course, I'm imitating left arm, left hand, right hand, you know. And that was it. You know, it was just
could it be that the scorpion is the pestilence going in and taking care of the faction?
Could be, yeah.
And the deep state or the church.
Yeah, but it didn't strike. It didn't move or anything. It just sat there, you know.
Oh, it didn't go down your arm?
No, it didn't go down. It just sat there, curled tail, like it was ready to go somewhere.
Okay, so he's ready.
Yeah.
Ready to strike. Okay. He wasn't looking at you, was he?
No, it was looking away from down my arm.
All right. Well, he's got, yeah, that Revelation 9:5, and it was given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man.
Yeah, and I think it's either prior to that or the after that when the serpent gets to have his little.
Yeah. This is the tribulation, the fifth angel, the fourth angel, sixth angel, all that good stuff. Okay, praise God. That's a good one. Would you do me a favor and write that up for David and send it to him? It won't take you just a minute, because that'll fit right in with some of the stuff that he's looking at right now. He'd really enjoy it, Andrew. Probably.
I don't know. I think the skateboard one was a lot better.
Well, it depends on what you're doing, you know, what you're thinking about. Amen. Okay, you know what else? Yeah, Missy.
I'm taking Fudge, and I'm going to go visit my parents for the weekend, and hopefully see some of my other family. I haven't seen my parents for like over 3 months now, and it's been a while. So last time was when my dad had that obstruction, and so they, since their dog got passed away, you know, I asked them, I said, would you like me to bring fudge with me? And my dad goes, yeah, in the background, yeah. They miss having the dog around, so they'll get a kick out of her because she's a pistol. So I just would like a prayer for my visit and trip there. And thank you, Lord, for having a good trip there and back, good gas mileage, safe. No fender benders and just no backups and just completely safe trip, Lord, and a good visit with my mom and dad. And I thank you, Lord, that while I'm helping my mom do some stuff around the house and I just thank you, Lord, that you know, I'm healed and everybody's healed and everything in our, you know, while I'm there, I feel good. I don't have any pains and I sleep well and no muscle tension, no headaches or nothing like that. I forbid any attacks of the enemy on my body, spirit, soul, body, mind, will, and emotion. And, I pray that every day, Lord, pretty much. And I thank you, Lord, especially for while I'm there for doing that. And thank you, Lord, for blessing my mom and dad and give me the perfect parents, Lord, for me, Lord. And I guess you could say I'm the perfect child for them because you orchestrate everything, Lord. Iron sharpens iron, Lord. And I just I thank you, Lord. And I ask that I have an opportunity to see my grandbabies. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that mom and dad, that I would get to see Matt and Megan and Ryder. Mom expressed that they'd like to see them because they haven't seen them in a while, Lord. And I just ask you to work that out, Lord. And they want to come along with me. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for my mom and dad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting her all the way up there and all the way back. And that while she's there, Lord, let it be a productive type of a visit. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let fudge be nice while she's up there, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, she'll be nice.
Okay.
She's a good little girl.
All right. Anyone else? They are actually saying that this EBS is going to happen very soon. And I would suggest, believe it or not, that you put the signal out back on your phone and your computer, because that's going to be the only form of communications during that 10 days. It's going to be that or a radio. Because your phone's not going to have anything on it but 911. You know, that's the only thing you'd be able to use on it. And that's what they're recommending. So that's what we're doing here. We're putting that out back on. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any questions? How about answers? Okay. Where are we? I think we're, somebody told me, I mean, Jenny said it was Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Is that right?
I think we read 22, but you wanted to back up. You said, oh, there's two or three things we're not seeing here on the previous verses. So probably yeah. 20 and on.
Okay. I'm going to start at 18 and just read down. Where did you say 21, Barry? Where we stopped at?
We read up to 22. So,
oh, okay. I'll read all the way up through there. And then we'll see if we can't come up with some more stuff here. You know, Romans is full of good stuff. Man, those onions can be peeled all up and down these verses. It's got revelations in it. All right, I'll start at 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to go on to 23. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Does anybody see a parallel here? Don't look at it in the natural. Look at it in the spiritual. Does anybody see anything in here? That's a question.
You start losing your
No.
Hey, what, Marilyn?
Oh, we. Oops.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Go ahead.
Well, it just, you know, I remember reading this years ago that, you know, you start losing your relationship with the Lord when you stop giving thanks and praising him. And, you know, as it says in Proverbs, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. They quit trusting the Lord, and even we, you know, this can happen, you know, in stages with even people that have a born again spirit. When they start falling away, they stop being thankful. They stop praising the Lord. They stop trusting the Lord, seeking the Lord. And that's the beginning of the, you know, falling into the place you don't want to be.
We've seen that happen so many times where the Lord would take all the teachings out and reprobate them. Yeah. Anybody else? Because it says, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I looked that up, knowing God, that knowing there says like a knowing as in a husband and wife knowing each other intimately. And this is, from my understanding, it seems like it's talking about people who used to know God. They knew God, you know, like were saved, born again or whatever, but then they got prideful and you know, this part down here, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. It's like I think it says on further about that they worship the creation rather than the creator. But it's like these beasts, I kind of like see these what it's saying here, these beasts and the creeping things and all, it's, I don't know, just what came to me was is like, man has made himself God. You know, everything that they just do as they please. Because it says that man is nothing but a beast. It's like, I don't know. I mean, without God, man is nothing better than a beast. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, and these are just some things going through my head. I don't know how much sense it makes, you know.
But that makes sense.
It's just things that are going through my head about it, you know. And there were, like, they don't want to give glory to God. They want to be glorified, you know.
Yeah. Well, could it be also that I don't want to say it yet. I'm gonna let Joe go. Look at it like this. And I can say this part of it. Look at it like they came to the Lord, and man, they were really, they wanted to know more about God. And then they got into a religion that didn't believe the whole God. And we've got that going on all over the place. I'll just leave it at that. And you can look and see what's going to happen. Go ahead, Joe.
That's almost what I was thinking, Michael, was we started out God, but we lost it. I think the most important thing we lost here is God is love. And what is the love thing? If you know God, you know love. If you haven't got love, you don't know God. So in other words, there's a big missing here. They understand God, but not the love part, the obedience part. That's what I was thinking.
Amen. Thank you. That's exactly right. I believe that. Okay, we got all kinds of hands now. Go ahead, Andrew, or Ben, either one of y'all, or both.
Hey, so I was just looking at the creeping things, and I thought that how God's going to restore with the locust, the spider worm, the caterpillar, and the cankerworm took from God's crop. Of course, it ate up the fruit. So, you know, they allowed the creepy crawlies to come in and take everything away. So that's about it.
Okay, go ahead, Mariana or Isaac.
Hey guys. Michael, thank you for the hint again. I'm gonna go with it because I think I didn't think about it that way. So remember when Peter the veil, Peter went to a trance and seeing the beast, and he said that was uncommon, or bear with me, basically, don't call it unclean. And I can see here where these beasts and these four-footed things and all these creatures could be denominations. I didn't think about it like this. And I don't know if I got it either. But, you know, hey, A for effort. That's important. So but I can see where knowing God, you know, they basically don't know him through man's creature / creation of denominationalism, I knew what I was going to say. I guess it's not to be so. So I'll let it go.
Okay. Well, you're exactly right. What happens? I've seen it in my walk with Christians and myself. Is they don't want to go any further than their sense knowledge. You know what sense knowledge is? That's what they can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Nothing spiritual. And if it goes beyond those things, then that leaves them out of it. And that's where most of them are right now, where most of the religions are. They don't go any further than what they can see. All those things the five senses tells them. They won't go into the supernatural, which is the spiritual, and go into the Word of God and meditate on those words and find out that the Lord will peel back what He's showing you and show you the spiritual aspect of those things. And when He does that, how many of you know it gets in your heart then, because you understand when the Lord opens that up, everything is there now. You understand that aspect of it. They won't go that far. They don't want to go that far. They want the McDonald's, you know, type of religion. Pull up there and get you a little bite and go home. You'll be all right. That's what I'm seeing anyway. Does anybody else agree or disagree with that? And it's okay. I mean, we're all here trying to learn something here. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I think that kind of ties in with what Marilyn was saying, that, you know, they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. And when you're born again, and Jesus is revealed to your heart, especially if you're reading the Gospels through that process, the all of the multitude of things that He did were all miraculous, were all and all spiritual. And so I guess I'm kind of at a loss here for words or anything, but that just that concept that coming to God, and I'm assuming that there's some sort of connection that if you haven't become excited about that glory that the Lord revealed in His coming, and that you aren't excited about the potential of entering into that in some form, I mean, it can be, you know, the one thing about entering into the spiritual realm, I guess you might say, is it's a little bit, you can't enter there without trust in God's ability to preserve you and save you through that, in that environment, I guess you might say. And, you know, it's just reading in the Psalms that today that, you know, but the various dangers that we, that God leads us through in our life, in our walk with Him, we go through, you know, tremendous, you know, opposition and persecution or whatever it would be, but there's certain dangers in that. And if you are not holding on to the Lord through that, and you have your eyes upon His glory, His ability to preserve you through that process, if you're trusting in yourself, I'm just seeing how that, you know, that is kind of the starting point. This, you know, the Lord says that, you know, by the fear, you know, we enter into that relationship by the fear of the Lord, we enter into wisdom and his perspective. And so I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this or whatever, but it's just if you are not anchored down on the glory and the ability of God's ability to preserve you, to save you through this whole process of life that we go through, then it's easy to turn, you know, and try to save yourself or find other resources to accomplish that. And when that happens, your heart is, you know, it's your heart is darkened because it's turning away from God, turning away from the light, and turning away from God. And ultimately, in order to be justified in that process, you have to bring down, you have to dilute or bring down the glory of God. You know, you have to lower God in some form in your mind, in your imagination, in order to be able to reconcile that in yourself. So I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking that all those verses are very, you know, at some point, then you start professing yourself to be wise because you're trying to protect your own investment here in saving yourself or whatever it would be. So anyway, I'll quit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Benita. I'm not laughing at you, Pat. I was laughing at something that I just sent.
I was just going to say, when you were talking, the part where it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. I was just thinking about, you know, there's so many people that do speak in tongues, and there are healings that have been going on for centuries, miraculous healings, and, you know, and they're all, you know, those are clearly in the Bible too, you know, that tongues are in the Bible, and, you know, you will have, we'll be doing even more than Christ did, and we'll be healing the sick and raising the dead and all those things, but, they can't see those things. So they're clearly, I was talking to somebody about speaking in tongues once I was able to, and they're like, well, that's not for us. You know how they say that. I'm like, there's millions of people that speak in tongues, but you can't see it. They just can't see it. But there's so many people that do. I mean, I couldn't see it. You know, I knew there were Pentecostal people that spoke in tongues, but I couldn't believe it, I guess. But I mean, it was clearly there. It's just, I was blinded. And so I don't know. Those are, everybody's got to come out of that. So
yeah.
Hopefully it'll, amen.
I can just veer off a little bit here, Benita, because you raised it. Speaking in tongues, in my opinion, is one of the most important things that you can do. It really is. It builds your spirit man up. Not only that, it stirs up, you stir up your spirit when you do that. All right, go ahead, Ozzy. Thank you, Benita.
Hello. One more thing. Just thinking about Michael, about what we were saying, knowing God and then professing not to know him, really. Remember when Satan took, when he was tried in the wilderness, and Satan took Jesus up to the temple and he told him to cast himself down? Well, Jesus, you know, that the angels would catch him. You know, Jesus ain't casting down Jesus. But how many pastors have went to the pinnacle of the temple and casted Jesus down? It's been happening throughout generations. But not, and my point was, not only they don't stop there, not only do they not stop to cast Jesus down, but to say, now, hang on, Satan, how about that kingdom of the world too? I'll take that as well. You know, I don't know. I just saying that.
Maybe it is. Getting back to what this is talking about here, these people, to me, look like people that there are churches that think that the Paul's epistles ought to be taken out of the Bible. You know why? Because Paul talks about the spiritual aspect of your walk, which is the most important part of the whole thing. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse, I'll start out with 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, and was given me to you or to fulfill the word of God. Keep on going. Even the mystery. All right, we're going to the mystery here. Here's the mystery they don't like. The mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now, in Paul's time, hath it been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now here it is, folks. The secret of our walk with Christ, which is Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. You cannot be perfect in Christ without knowing that Christ is in you. And if he is in you, he's not with you like he was during all that 4,000 years before Christ died on the cross. But now he went to the cross for one thing, that his spirit could be in us. And when his spirit comes in us, what did he tell us? Before he died, he told us what was going to happen. He said, I am the vine, you are the branch. They don't believe this stuff. They don't believe that God can manifest in us. We can't be Jesus. You can't be Jesus. What are you talking about? Well, it says here, right here, it says, be you perfect, even like my Father in heaven is perfect. I can too. I can be just like Jesus. Because he said it. He said it many times in here through the Pauline epistles. They don't believe that. And it's a hindrance to their walk to not believe it, because you got an apostate pastor up there telling them, well, all that stuff is gone away. Give me a break. If it's gone away, there's millions of people like Vanita was talking about, millions of people out there speaking in tongues, healing the sick, raising the dead, glorifying God, bringing the gospel, the true gospel, out to people. And we're going to see more than that coming shortly. Better settle down here. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking of verse 21. It says, because knowing God, they glorified him not as God. That takes me back to verse 22. Professing to be wise, they become fools. It's like that virgins, wise and the foolish. I think they know God, but they don't do what God says. They just like to talk about God. They like to play religion and not doing the actual stuff. The doing is the most important than just hearing. Everybody can hear about God, but doing is a difficult one. Thank you.
That's right, Joe. They hear and they hear and they hear. What James said, if you don't do it, you ain't of God. You got to do it. Go ahead, Vanita.
Missy, if you have some comments on that, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Missy. You got to lower that yellow, and I can see that a lot more readily.
Okay. Boy, when Joe said that, it clicked. You know, what you said earlier about the spiritual aspect. Okay, the virgins, the foolish ones didn't have enough oil in their vessels. Because why? The biggest reason is like David's taught us, that most of Christianity is not even spirit-filled. He calls it non-spirit-filled, you know, Christians. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we know how important it is to be filled with the Spirit. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God in us that breaks the yoke, that breaks the flesh, the bondage of the flesh, you know? And the flesh is are those beasts, you know? And there's just, anyway, that when he said that, this just clicked, you know, with me.
Okay. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead, Vanita.
So I had a question. The way we're talking about these verses right now, we're talking about believers who are not spirit-filled or not, but we're talking about believers. Whenever I read that before, I always thought about non-believers, like, you know, like when I was raised Hindu and like all these people in India that I know, you know, it's been revealed to them in creation and they have no excuse either. So it applies to both, right? Not just to believers, because I always thought of it for non-believers.
Well, he's talking to the Romans church. Yeah, he says, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them.
Okay, so that's Christian.
He's talking about so-called Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not unbelievers.
Are without excuse, is that right? Because they see God in creation. I mean, his power is there.
See, in 21, it says, because that knowing God, that's a Christian, they glorified him not as God. They don't think that God can do what he says he can do. The promises in the Bible, they don't believe in the promises in the Bible. Just the ones that they like.
Right.
Well, that's Christians. No, this is talking about Christians here, so-called Christians. Go ahead, Pat. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that all of it, Vanita? You got a puzzled look on your face. I do too, most of the time. Okay.
If I have questions out.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say, when some of these denominations started, well, I guess I'm thinking of a general tendency or something that happens, is that you know, when you see something in the Word, and you see that is God's word for you, that is something that God has, you know, has enlightened you related to that, some aspect of truth or faith or whatever. And you go after that, trust that. And if you're like me, you probably fail at it a time or two. Or I know that there's a lot of things that I've learned that way, walking with the Lord, that I had taken, and I've tried to exercise faith in that area, and I've failed in some form or another, or experienced opposition or failure of some sort. And in that possibility, if you don't humble yourself before God and acknowledge that that word is true and that the fault in whatever form has to be in me as opposed to God's word, and even question God, you know, why didn't this work? I tried this, I did this, or whatever, and it didn't work. And eventually the Lord will take you through that process and maybe reveal something else in your life or in your thinking that is hindering you from grabbing hold of a specific truth or whatever. Point I'm, and eventually you make it through that point and you enter into that particular truth and you learn to walk in the faith of that word, of God's word in that area. But there's a tendency in systems, I'm going to say a religious system, that having experienced that failure, instead of acknowledging that as a failure, as sin, or whatever it would be, there's the tendency to justify ourselves and ignore, and, you know, say, make up something in some form of a justification. Well, God isn't doing things that way nowadays. Or that word must mean something else because it obviously doesn't mean this because I failed at that. So it must mean something else. And I think there are whole denominations and religions that go down that path. The leaders or the people have experienced some sort of failure. And so they've justified continuing on life. They've justified that failure, so to speak, and reasoned it away as a new way of, you know, God's doing things in a different way. Or, you know, we have the Bible now, so we don't need signs and wonders. We don't need tongues, all those things went out with the apostles or whatever. And so they justify that away. And so that was all I was going to say. Just there, if you don't stop and repent and acknowledge your wrongness, you can't, you will never find the right way. It's like, you know, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And if he takes you to a place and you fail at that place or that understanding or that word, you fail in some place in that. If you never turn to Jesus and walk through that door and follow him, you never go through you never find the solution. You stay outside and say, well, okay, it must not be for me. You're never going to find the solution. You're never going to enter into that faith or overcome that inner thing that hinders you or prevents you from entering into that awareness. So anyway, that's all I had.
Okay, go ahead, Missy. I'm praying for somebody. Just keep going.
You know, Vanita, in verse 24, you know, it says that wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness. God gave them up. They were his, but he gave them up. So that's one thing that caught me there too, was God gave them up.
Now that you guys all talk about that, it just seems so clear. I don't know why. I just always never associated it with believers for some reason, because I always thought, well, I always thought once saved, always saved at some point, you know, way back then. And so I just thought he was talking about non-believers.
Right.
So now it makes.
Well, you know, it's like I realized when I came to UBM that there's a lot of the Bible that a lot of Christians, and including so-called Christians, or should you say denominations or non-denominations, even the one that I came from, believed that this was about unbelievers because, you know, I think because of you can't lose your salvation, or once saved, always saved, or whatever. And I think there's a lot of Christians that think that, you know, and it's just to me, you know, if you really look into it and really read it for yourself, and I think that's part of the problem too, that they don't understand it, is because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. You know, they don't have the revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the Lord that would lighten the eyes of their heart, that they would know what the hope of their calling is what Michael was saying earlier. So there's still so much in darkness, but the Lord's going to change that soon for his elect. They're among them. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead. Who's next? I'm trying to get somebody prayed up here. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that the name of Jesus is above every name, and that name, when you utilize that name, you stand in that name, you're standing in Jesus' stead. The demons think you are Jesus when you speak like that and command them to go. They got to do nothing else but go in the name of Jesus. Okay. It's taken care of. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? I'm sorry, Pat. I was distracted there for a minute. I think I heard you talking about basically the same thing we've been talking about the apostate churches and things. Believing the things that they want to believe rather than what the word said. I remember a guy told me many years ago, he said, you read that word, the new covenant, if you read that new covenant, and everywhere that it says that you're supposed to do something, he said, do it. Just do it. Makes no difference what it is. Yeah, but I don't know how to do it. Well, just keep reading and asking the Lord. Just keep reading and asking the Lord. And what happens, I tell you what happens, you'll meet people. That's the thing to do, is to get around people that understand the true gospel. And all of you get together, I know what, like here, and then you'll understand what you are supposed to do. Just like tonight, we're learning what Romans is about, what Paul was about, actually. This is about Paul here. A lot of things are. Okay. Anybody else on this, on these, verses here? Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's done. Thank you, Benita. Go ahead, Benita. I'm sorry. I've got my mind in two places right now. I'm sorry.
What was I going to say? The one lady that I was talking to, she had come out of the Baptist church and was in a more of a Pentecostal, Holy Spirit-filled church, but lots of the doctrine was still not in line with what the Bible says. But what was my point? Now I can't remember something you were saying. She, I know. Okay, so you know, I was telling her a little bit about David, and how I said something like, you know, what he teaches about the end times, like nobody teaches that I'd ever heard about before. And her comment was like, well, then you better be careful, because if more people don't agree with that, then, and I'm thinking, but the disciples weren't like that. You know, I wanted to say that to them, like, they didn't believe anything that anybody else was saying. So, you know, they just have that mentality of, well, if everybody or a big group of people don't believe it, it can't be true, which is just not true. We know that. And we were talking when we were many times. She's like, oh, history's going to repeat. History's going to repeat. And we both agreed on that. But she couldn't get that whole point where it's going to repeat to that, exactly to that point, you know, going to be something you've never heard before.
Well, have you ever heard David teach this? He says, if the most people believe a doctrine, it's probably not true. I've heard him preach it. I said, what? Then I got to look and say, it's the truth. It's the truth. I tell you, to a good buddy of mine, good friend of mine, I took it out and showed him step by step where the rapture is at the end. And they agreed with me. But the next day, they disagreed with me again. Because they didn't hear it from their pastor, I guess. I don't know. But I said, okay, that's no big deal. I'm not going to lose your friendship over something like that, because I know you're going to come into the truth at some point in time. Well, I think I got the truth. I said, okay, praise God. But, yeah, it's hard to talk to somebody when you don't have Doctor of Divinity behind your name on doctrine, because they believe that these people who go to school, I remember what Paris Reed had said one time about these seminaries. He said, you got one deadhead teaching another deadhead how to be a deadhead. And what his inference was, you got one stupid man teaching another stupid man about the word of God and making him a stupid man in the gospels or in the Christianity religion. Yeah, Renita. In the gospel.
I remember my wife one time was sharing a statistic with me about the number of people that are teaching the Bible that have not gone to seminary. And the number was growing, and she was so disturbed by that. She just was, you just won't believe what's happening, Vanita, you know. All these people didn't go to seminary. They don't have any learning behind them, and they're preaching. Now I understand it. But then I was like appalled by the whole thing.
I got saved one day. The next week they had me teaching their kids, believe it or not. This was in a Baptist church. I didn't know where Mark was, you know, I'm gonna say. But anyway, go ahead, Pat. That's the idiocy of these things. Go ahead, Pat. Can I say something, Pat, before you go ahead?
Absolutely.
Okay. What if we taught our kids the word of God from the start and teaching them the right thing, that you are, when you have Christ in you, you walk like Christ, you talk like Christ, you act like Christ. That's what God wants in each one of us. And when you teach your child that, they come up as Christ, because you hammer it into them. You keep hammering it into them. You keep hammering it into them. Some of these ladies here are doing that, and it's working. I can tell you it's working. You can see it. That's what I'd love to see, that with the parents teaching the kids, you know, this is what it means to be a Christian. You're supposed to be like Christ. Have the fruit of Christ in your life. 30, 60, and 100-fold. But we're going for 100, aren't we? We're going for 100. Amen. Go ahead, Pat. I just had to say that.
I was just thinking, Vanita's comment about the seminaries and everything, is that I guess there is the concept that knowledge or intelligence, knowledge or whatever, is the ultimate thing. Obviously, if you go to college, you know, to get a degree or whatever, that knowledge seems to be the pinnacle of everything, saying that you have enough knowledge. And I think of, you know, one person, the guy that wrote this book, the Apostle Paul, when that light hit him on the Damascus Road, it was real clear to him at a certain point, and even after that, that he had to treat all of that knowledge that he had as a pile of barnyard refuge, you might say, and toss it in the trash can and start from scratch. And it's all because we are not saved by knowledge, even though it's obviously good to have knowledge. You have to have knowledge, and you have to have knowledge about certain things. But we're saved by grace through faith. And, you know, and that, and to teach people things, you know, it's like we, you know, we're looking there in the scriptures, says, because they, knowing God, did not glorify him as God. Well, they had knowledge. They may have entered into the born again experience, and they had certain knowledge, but that knowledge evidently was not connected by grace, through faith or whatever, in order to allow them to glorify God as God. And I mean, I've looked through history, you can find a lot of people. As a matter of fact, one person that just, you know, died here not too long ago, was, they consider him one of the most intelligent and smartest individuals, around, and he had no perception of God. Just listening to things he said and talking about, you know, the cosmos and various other different things like that. And he was a very intelligent person. He had knowledge, but he didn't know God. At least I don't think he did. So it's not knowledge where, you know, we're not saved by knowledge. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. And that has to do with some form of taking that knowledge and walking with it, or utilizing, applying it to our life and going on, you know, towards God in it. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah, they distort everything by what the five senses, like I was talking about a while ago. If it's in the spiritual, they don't understand it. Gosh, I was going somewhere with this, Pat. Well, they're just led by their sense knowledge rather than the spirit knowledge. And the only thing you're going to get in that way is superficial religion. That's it. Are you saved at that point? I don't know. You got Christ in you. You're supposed to have Christ in you. If you got Christ in you, you're supposed to be walking like Christ, right? Talking like Christ, right? Supposed to be learning like Christ. Having the Lord teach you, the Holy Spirit teach you. That's what the Holy Spirit's job here is, to teach us. Yeah, Lana or Theo? I think that's Lana.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to share something that the Lord put on my heart regarding this topic. And it has to do with my kids, because that's been my biggest trial and my biggest learning curve in these last few months, a year, last year, really, since we've moved to Tennessee. But I've been struggling with training my boys and seeing good results, consistent results. And it's been kind of an on and off battle. Some days it's a victory. Other days it's a struggle. And some weeks it's a one struggle and trial and attack after another. And I noticed that the enemy would always have me turn into myself. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And yet I couldn't find what I was doing wrong. I was doing everything I knew to do. And in this time, I was also reading a lot of books that were wonderful. The Lord gave me a lot of wisdom and discernment about agreeing with the things that were scriptural and tossing out the things that were not. Recently, actually not recently, maybe a month or two ago, the Lord reminded me that He gave me a stern warning when we were preparing to move to Tennessee. And that warning was about holding my opinion in higher regard than His word. And I took it with seriousness. I wasn't quite sure how to apply it. I realized that it applied, but I wasn't sure, you know, what I was supposed to do besides believe it, receive it, and ask the Lord for grace to correct that in my life. And He recently reminded me of that. And so I cried out to Him and I said, Lord, show me, Lord. And in the last week, I've come to realize that I have collected a lot of knowledge about how to train my children, but none of it does any good when I don't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of truth from the Lord, and the patience to wait on the Lord to do it in my kids. That if I am stirred up, there's no way the kids are going to be able to stay at peace. And I've just really been confessing and repenting before the Lord that everything I've read is nothing new to me. But the grace to apply it, the grace to understand it, the grace to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit needs to be renewed every day in order for my house to come into alignment with the Word of God and to manifest the Lordship of Christ Jesus Himself in our midst. And it brings to mind that verse, that knowledge puffeth up. What it's done to me is it has driven me into self-works without me understanding that that's exactly what it was doing. Every time there was a failure, I'd analyze it and I'd start looking for a way to better it, and it would work the first time. But the next time my kid would not respond. And so I'd go back to the books and I'd go back to the Lord too, but it was mainly the books, and I'd try something new and it would work and then it would fail. And God's grace is so merciful, and His grace covers everything, and it takes care of my kids. It takes care of everything I want to see manifested in them. And most of all, it takes care of me. And I am so, so grateful that He has been so patient with me and that He's bringing me into this new knowledge of Him and how He wants things done in our household. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Amen. Thank you for that, Lana. That's awesome. Thank you, Father, for all of us doing that. Just asking the Lord to lead us. Show us. Amen. Thank you, Father. And in doing it. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. All right, anybody else? All right, let's move on. I think I'll stop at 23. I'm going to start at 24. Wherefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God I was looking at some. That their body should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Wait a minute. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. And worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All right. Does anybody want to comment on that? I'm going to read it again because I kind of messed up. Somebody sent me a message while I was reading it. Give me just a second, Missy, and I'll let you go into it. Wherefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, it just comes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier, you know, like in verse 25 there, and that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Where are we not one of God's creatures? We are a new creation, right? And it's like that creature is the beast, the flesh, and the self. You know, I had that written there. I don't know when I wrote it there, but it was before it was before we started this whole thing. You know, it's like, you know, self-idolatry. You know, you, like I said earlier, you're making yourself a god. You worship yourself. You're your own god. You know, is how I see it. Like I said earlier, it's just, wow.
Well, it's just, you're right. It's like somebody that's an alcoholic. He comes to Jesus, but he keeps drinking. You know, before that, he had a spirit of alcohol, spirit of addiction. But once he becomes a religious man, Christian, and he's still drinking, now he's got an alcohol problem. It's not a spirit anymore, because you can't get spirits as a Christian, they believe. Same thing. They just gloss over what it is to be a Christian. You're once saved, always saved. That's going to send a lot of people to hell, that particular one. Go ahead, Andrew. And that's not just one denomination that believes that. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, first, you know, like, you know, Paul's here trying to give him some fruit, as it said up earlier, and he's trying to establish some gift too. So we have to keep that in mind, that he wants to give them fruit and a gift. And, you know, to me, sometimes I wonder if he was writing all these things because maybe some people left, you know, and we don't know what's going on at the time here. He's trying to explain this, but he's also trying to bring these people in. Don't forget, these people had some gods and goddesses to get rid of. You know, the Jews had to get rid of the law. These people have to get rid of a law from their gods and goddesses they came out of as Gentiles. But I just wanted to speak about this word uncleanness. So they had to give up. They gave up the word. They gave up the word to unclean word. You need clean word. You know, in the Old Testament, when a woman was going through her time of month, she was considered unclean. That means something spiritual now. And so, you know, you don't give up the seed. And the lust of their hearts was to uncleanness. And we love the Lord not with uncleanness. You know, there's that verse there. Can't think of it now. But the heart is, we're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And we don't love them with uncleanness or darkness, you know. we love him with the truth, and we love him through his word. We love the word. We got to give. We can't give God a hug. We agree with his word all the time. We want to study his word. We are filled with his blessed righteousness. You know, the Creator who is blessed. You know, blessed. Rather than the Creator who is blessed unto the ages. Amen. You know, I will remind you what it says in Ephesians about being blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You have to take this blessing of mercy with you when you explain salvation, when you explain anything. It happens, though. When God does it, it kind of all gets itself in order, and you're capable of receiving. You know, when you receive one piece of word or fruit from the Lord, it opens the gate for a whole bunch of other fruit to come in at the same time. Because we explain things that the word is like a layered, and you can have several things now come to you because you've been corrected of one item. And therefore you're loving the Lord with your mind and heart much more, because, you know, the heart has to receive the word too in love. It's not just a mind thing. We want the mind of Christ to be transformed with the renewing of your mind to love the Lord, and then the heart gets circumcised. So it usually happens at the same time. So and it's a strength thing. Well, that's the strength. Love is, I think, a manifestation of that love. So an important verse, that love verse. That and it's surprising how some of these Pharisees or the Jewish people answered him with love, not with law. Like they knew what they were supposed to answer it that way. So but that's just something I'm bringing up about the uncleanness here. This is why, you know, they wanted the unclean word, except instead of the clean, they wanted dirty water, not clean water. You know, the Lord taught me on that. You know, I was trying to witness to someone when I was just a little itty baby, because that's what they teach us to do. The guy I was witnessing to was saying, "You're not one of them born agains, are you? You're brainwashed." And then I walked away, you know, real sad. My friend came up, you know, that witness to me. He started, "Well, what's wrong with that?" He said, "You just got a confirmation from a non-believer who you are." And, you know, like I figured that out later when I went to go sit down, and I went, "Wait a minute, God confirmed something through the mouth of a person who's, well, some sort of Christian anyway." So praise and glory to God on what the Lord can do for us and help us in all things. Because with him, we're everything. Without him, we're nothing. Glory to God.
Amen. Anyone else? That verse 22, it just sticks out. Has anybody else been sticking, that was sticking out in front of that verse 22? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm Dr. So-and-so and such, and I know this. They go out and spew out a bunch of garbage. That's what it reminds me of. They change the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man. God is our provider. He's our healer. He's our protector. He's our provider. He does everything for us. And yet the worldly church depends on doctors, bankers, the police, all of those things that are men. And they don't give God the glory. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Well, now that I know that he's talking about believers, that changes a lot of stuff. Because this verse, when they were talking about, you know, dishonoring their bodies among themselves, giving them up to uncleanness and the lust of their, I always thought it was talking about unbelievers, but when you think about them being believers and giving themselves up to the lust of their hearts and dishonoring their bodies, that's really quite shocking. I don't know. I just don't think of, even like in, you know, in the churches that I've been in.
Well, that's why God is going to have tribulation. He's going to shake those fellowships and shake his people out of them. I tell you what, you know, go ahead, Benita.
Once a person might read this and think they're not talking about believers, because that does, you know, a believer wouldn't do that bad. You know, they wouldn't.
Well, if you put it in the spiritual realm, if you put it in the spirit realm, he says, this cause God gave them up onto vile passions. What's a vile passion? That's something completely against God. And that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're going by the flesh rather than the spirit. And that's what he's talking about. For their women, the church, changed the natural use into that which is against nature.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is all about the church, our state church. You know, Go ahead.
Realize pointing that out about the women. I didn't even put that together either. Just all.
Well, that's why we're having this, so we can open it up and peel that onion back, right? Amen. Okay, go ahead, Barry or Marilyn.
Yeah, in verse 23, change the glory of incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Birds, that came up. The symbol of the United States is the eagle. Yeah. It's a bird. And you have people chanting USA and look at what a wreck the country is, how depraved it is, how corrupt it is. And the Nazis had the eagle as their symbol. And yeah. So did Babylon. And it's really that worship of the state. These days, people should absolutely know better, you know, but they don't. And, so that's another, you know, thing that people worship that, is symbolized here in, the mention of animals.
Yeah. A lot of churches, Barry, as you well know, have an American flag there and their church flag, ever what that is. You know, up on the podium with them. So they pledge allegiance to the flag. Well, that's not what the word says. You don't pledge allegiance.
How many allegiances can you have?
Yeah, really.
That's more. The question. Yeah.
That's it. That's all you can have. That's a good point. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going a bit with what Andrew says about uncleanness. I say, God gave him up in the lust of our hearts unto uncleanness. The lust of our heart is who they are, and what who they not what they believe, who they are, who they walk are, and that's why we give into uncleanness. The bit of the righteousness of God that they did have, take it away, give him a heart of uncleanness, to the lust of their flesh.
Yeah. That their bodies, the whole fellowship, should be dishonored among themselves. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm just going to add a little more to what Joel said there, because something just popped in there. And it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If they let this go too far where they can't be rescued, hopefully they will be rescued. There's a strong delusion there. And if God's going to give them up, like he said here, gave them up, he's going to send them a strong delusion to actually believe that.
Yeah.
So I think that those two can collate. I'm just kind of hoping, because Paul's there, that a lot of these people are going to get some fruit and some gifts. Praise God.
Amen. I'll tell you what, the man-child ministry and the bride are going to change a lot of people's perspective on what they believe, because the signs and wonders are going to follow them wherever they go. The signs and wonders. Remember, that's what brought people to Jesus, was the signs and the wonders. Why? Because he had compassion on all the sick, the tired, all of those people. Lost and saved. He had compassion on them. And that's what we're looking for, is the love of God in us. Like you were talking about a while ago, it's that love of obedience to Christ that's going to bring people into the kingdom. Back into the kingdom. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I just turned there, and it does say there, and for this cause, because they didn't love the truth. Where was that? You know, it says, in that they received not the love of the truth, that they be saved. And God caused, and for this cause, God sendeth them a working error, which is the strong delusion for the King James, as they should believe the lie. And we know who the father of all lies is. So,
yeah,
he likes to accuse people, and he likes to judge people. We're speaking the wisdom here, which is good judgment. You know, wisdom is a light and a spirit from God, and it's good judgment. We're not judging those people because they don't know what they're supposed to know. So I just want to clarify that, because sometimes when you study this kind of stuff too much, you know, you might go on a tangent here and forget what kind of love you're supposed to have. You know, it's kind of scary sometimes, actually. So I'm just bring that up.
Amen. Yes, you're supposed to have the love of Christ in you. You are. But for this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, listen to that, even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to those things which are not fitting. That's the leadership. The men's leadership. The leadership are, they don't have the love of God in them. They want to promote their religion more than promoting God, Jesus. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. That's pretty bad. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. Who, listen, knowing the ordinance of God, that they practice such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. How many LGBTQRST churches we got out there? I saw on the internet, on the news the other day, there's all kinds of churches going to I could just call it rainbow garbage. Totally against the word of God. Totally against the word of God. Do you know why they're trying to do that? Does anybody know why all of a sudden this stuff comes up? Anybody have a clue to why they're bringing all this on? Yeah, Missy.
It's just like a lot of stuff that's going on concerning children. It's a way of trying to make pedophilia legal. There's a lot of different stuff going on with it. The transgender stuff. I mean, it's just how many areas do we know that they've really abused children, abortion? Sex trafficking, child sacrificing, all these things. I think it's where it comes right down to is it's just another means of hurting the children. I mean, it's hurting anybody that gets into it. But
I don't want to go a whole lot into it, but there's a reason behind all of this, and it's very evil. Go ahead, Benita.
I mean, they're just trying to divide us all any way they can. Racism, gender. I mean, anything they can come up with to divide us, they're using it. Because then our minds are not on what they're doing. They're on each other, and our enemies are each other.
Maybe it's. Yeah, Barry, Marilyn.
I'm not sure it's what you're looking for, but I know one of the consequences of all this thing is the destruction of the family unit.
Yeah.
That's the basis of families, how kids are raised, you know, how, you know, morality and things like this are brought to bear, and the balance of the mother and father, you know, in the family to raise the children up properly the way, you know, that God intended. And when they attack the family unit, it destroys all kinds of things. You know, it destroys society. If you look at the unwed mothers out there, the multiple kids and no father, look at how those kids are coming up. They just go straight into crime and all kinds of lawlessness. And it's because the family unit's been broken in certain segments of our society.
Well, I'll submit this to you. This movement cannot procreate. So they have to go to the children. Now, I'll just leave it at that. You think about that a minute. It's an evil, evil thing that's going on right now in this country. Well, all over the world, seems like. And it's the devil has been loosed. But we come against it in the name of Jesus. All right, let's see. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for protecting our words. Nobody heard us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, I was just looking at the fruit of the flesh here in Galatia chapter 5, and it lists quite a few of them. But it continues on and where it says at the very end of this, where is it? Yeah, envy, drunkenness, and the things, revelings, and the like of these, which I forewarn you, as also I did forewarn that they who practice the such should not inherit God's kingdom. So this is a list of quite a few other spirits that a person's not supposed to have. So those are a more defined list there that should you can tack on to what that word I just read there, and that's what I'm gonna add to that anyway. It's the same apostle too. So praise God.
Amen. Well, it looks to me right here that God's not happy about these things that are happening in the church. And they started way back then. Just look at Ephesians, but that was good church. Good church, man. They were doing all kinds of good things. But over in Revelations, he gets after it. Just that little short span of time there. Anyhow. All right. Anybody else on anything here in chapter one that we covered? Yeah, Isaac. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Hey, man. That last one, that last verse where they say, to consent not with them in that anybody does consent, I'm just paraphrasing here, is worthy of death. If you read First Peter, let me say this verse. We know of a church, not one we partake of or affiliate with by no means, but we know of a church that did a peaceful protest with the pride marches. Now, here's the thing. They dressed as, you know, rainbows and walked with them in the same direction, but just had like different type of sign. And I'll tell you what the Lord showed me about that was in 1 Peter 4, verses 3, 4, so the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness, lust, wine bibbings, revelings, carousings, and abominable idolaters, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of. And what the Lord showed me was, is that they're walking in the way, the same way that the pride marches are. They're in the same direction. And it doesn't matter. You can't let your evil be spoken. I mean, your good be spoken evil of, because how many people looking at that would discern that? Oh no, we're going to peaceful protest this and just do it in a different manner. Well, you can't. You just got to go to warfare. Okay. And the thing is, and I hate to say this, but I don't have any facts to base this off of other than what I can imagine, but I hope they didn't, but if they did, I would be afraid that spirit's going to get off in that church now.
Absolutely, because that's what happens.
Exactly. You can't even walk. You can't walk in the same way.
They're agreeing with them.
Even. Exactly right. 100% right. That's all I was going to share.
Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I had to say it. Yeah, go ahead, Isaac. I won't interrupt you again.
Oh, no, you didn't. I was saying no worries. You didn't interrupt me at all.
Okay. If you agree with the devil and his works, you're agreeing with the devil and his works. You're not agreeing with God. You're going against God. I don't care what it looks like on TV. You're going against God. There's two people in the world, isn't there? There's the saved and the unsaved. Yeah, Barry or Merlin.
Yeah, speaking about what Isaac was talking about, their peaceful protest and, you know, march along with them, we get back to how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Boy, there you are. That's just exactly what's going on.
Right. That's right, Judy. Either you are against me or you're with me. You're not, there's no fence sitting here. You're either with God or you're not. And if God says no, you do it. Get what? You're of Satan. You're siding with Satan. Okay. Anything else on this chapter one? Hey, it turned out to be pretty good, didn't it? This whole chapter. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, they already know what, they know what the word says, that they that practice such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. That's just what we were talking about. Go ahead, Andrew. But God.
But knowing, you know, even Charles Darwin knew something. And he was a baptized man. He went to some Christian place, you know. But you see, he spoke against creation. And the word creator is here, you know, and, so, you know, did this person have a form of godliness, but deny the power even to the word that's in Luke chapter 3, it lists Jesus all the way to Adam. So that proves something about the book of Genesis. So, you know, people know that. But it's not in their nature, character, and authority to come against it, you know. And when this happened back then, you know, he I call him the evangelist for this because evolution was before Charles Darwin, and you know, there's other really kind of small, not all well, big things, you know, like. You'd have a baptized person in one country and he'll come across because there's a wartime going to happen now and he's going to go shoot that other Baptist person or baptized person over there and they think it's okay and they might even be going to the same church, same denomination, you know, and so that they know this is wrong. But, you know, they know, and who knowing the ordinance of God, they knew it. And who practiced as such are worthy of death. And they did some really interesting practices since the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. And they're emulating the iron spirit. And another spirit, we're promised peace since the late 1940s. And now we're coming to an iron, we're coming to a new age. They're correct in saying there's a new age coming. And we're coming to a new age of iron and clay and sitting divided in two categories. And they'll, you can read some of the first piece in chapter 13, and they're already doing that. You know, they've been doing this for quite a while. You know, this knowing the ordinance of God. And you know, you can have some brethren out there that are going through this, some of them are being martyred, and it's the same old thing. I just, you know, sometimes we tend to think that it's only an unseemly, deviant sexual thing, but it could be something really plain and simple also. And once you lose something, you lose quite a bit when you lose creation. The fact that it's a foundation stone, not a cornerstone, but it might be right beside it. You know? So, you know, there's a lot to this. I would just also say that Abraham already had a covenant before God gave him a new covenant, and now we have a covenant through Jesus. And they're all kind of similar because God has to do them all. God has to do them all. And while the kids are outside, there's the landlord here is putting a Lion King movie on outside for the kids to watch in the building. So if you hear anything in the background, that's what it is.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, I said what I said was this, Andrea said, it sounded like a big monster trying to come in your back door, growling. And yeah,
well, I don't think it's the line to do that, but for some of them, it might be.
Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about somebody brought up the scripture, I think it was Andrew there. That it was a scripture talking about they receive not the love of the truth. And I remember thinking about that, you know, doing a little study on that. It because you tend, it's like those things, you know, the little verses that doesn't matter. The meaning or the interesting thing about it is that it's not that they didn't receive the truth, is that they didn't receive the love of the truth. And the love of the truth is different than the truth. The love of the truth is such a compulsion that you desire that truth. And even if that truth tends to point negatively to you, you still love that truth and still, bend your knee to truth. In other words, you know, obviously it's a point of repentance that, and these people did not receive the love of the truth and did not hold that truth as absolutely, important in their lives. And then in verse 25 there, it said, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Just that verse right there, almost it is a reflection on what's happening in society now with this whole transgender and, you know, thing that's going on. And unfortunately, you have many innocent people children that are going through changes in their life and thinking and confusion and whatever else, which is a normal process of growing up, you know, that you have to, you know, think about these things. You have to, you know, work them through your mentality, etc. But you, now we have a wicked society. Unfortunately, these wicked people have now grown up and are leading our country are now the people that are in Congress and our government and are in the places of power now that influence the rest of our lives. But these, and so they are promoting this wickedness, they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They have allowed children to, and it says right there, they serve the creature rather than the creator. They, just like Charles Darwin, they change the lie in order to allow people to believe that they were not created, that there was an accident or whatever, that they are really a different gender than what they were created to be. They take that whole aspect of a creator out of the system, out of the package. And so therefore they're able to exchange the truth of God for a lie. And unfortunately, when you have institutions or even religious people of leadership authority that people respect, and they take those words and they respect those words, and in doing so, they destroy people's lives. And so I guess it's all, I think, based upon the fact that they did not have the love of the truth in their heart, that they had, that they counted it so worthless or so, not valuable that they exchanged it for a lie. So anyway, just some thoughts.
Amen. Well, and I'll just say this in passing. There is a contrived evil message in this whole thing that we're just talking about here about the transgender. And at some point in time, I'll tell you what it is. Not right now. Father, we just come against all of this stuff. And we thank you, Father, for saving these children from this horrible garbage that they're trying to impose upon them. Lord, I ask that you start talking to the parents. I don't understand what's going on with these parents. But Lord, I thank you for changing them. Changing them to look and see, this is my child. You keep your hands off my child. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for opening up chapter 2 to us in Romans come Tuesday night. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to have another great discussion upon this wonderful book. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all. Where is that? Yeah. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Thank you. Yep.